think I'm going to start, I'm going to insert generic joke here and say, I don't even know how to do this anymore.
And that makes the two of us. Oh, wow. It's been a minute.
Oh, wow. It's been so long. I don't know how to use a microphone.
What is this accent?
old, out of touch lady.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like me, but older and a little more like crinkly of the skin.
How much older?
43 years older. That's how much I've aged in the last few months. Am I right?
you still got it.
I think that was supposed to be badum tis.
Yeah.
But instead it was badadoo or something.
We all know what it is. Welcome to, season two of Adventures in Dog Photography?
Is that what we're doing now? Seasons?
Sure.
You're going to call it season two?
We did 30 episodes the first season.
Wow. I mean, it feels hard to match 30 episode long seasons. Maybe they'll be, well, we'll just see how it unfolds going forward. Maybe they'll be like 12 episode seasons.
How about we do this? We charge $1,200 an episode for yeah. each listener.
Sure.
Yep. And we do as many episodes as we want.
That seems, it seems like it would work quite well, especially in today's economy.
Okay. Or we do them for free and then we also do as many as we want.
Yeah. No, I hear. Don't be snarky. Is that a little snarky snark? Is that what you got going on there?
I'm not snarky.
Okay.
I'm happy. I'm well rested.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, woo, we're back. We probably should have started it on like, woo, like a big boy note. Like,
all right, hang on. Let's start again.
Okay.
Going to whip out and I say, how do you do your job?
And now?
Yep.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Yoo! We survived it. We're here. We're Greer. Get used to it.
You're Greer.
I'm Greer. You can be Greer too. I invite you to be Greer if you want.
Yeah.
Because I ain't taking your name.
Well, listen.
You can take mine, though. It's a good, strong name.
I'm the last male Haddocks in my bloodline.
I know. See you later. Sorry.
And I'm pretty sure that's dying with me.
Oh, hell yeah. I ain't carrying it forward for you. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful name. It's nothing against the name. It's just listen, feminism.
Yeah, that's
among
it.
Among other ideas.
That's it. Anyways, yes, we are back with more Adventures in Dog Photography. We're here today to talk to you about the craziest thing we've ever done. This little thing, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Shutiti Ruhund.
Yeah, essentially that. But before we like say that, why don't we also say like, hey, to anybody who's like just tuning in for the first time ever, because they're like, oh, wow, look at this. Season 2, Episode 1. This should tell me everything that I need to know. Let's tell them what this podcast is, who we are real quick. Real quick. Don't roll your eyes at me.
Yeah. Let's start back from the beginning again. Go to a party.
No. I'm Kaylee Greer. I'm a professional dog photographer. That's Sam Haddocks. He's a professional dog photographer.
Is that how you describe me?
I would describe you as lighting man extraordinaire with muscles who can hold stumps and carry things across fields.
Yep. Great.
And that's what we do. And every week on Adventures in Dog Photography, if this is your first time tuning in, we dive deep into one of dog breath photography's more iconic photos and talk about the technical settings and the general setup and the general kind of atmosphere behind creating the image and the weather the day we took it and the temperature on the day we took it and generally the backstory of the adventure of getting to the moment of that photo. So it's kind of like should be slam-packed full of interesting information for fellow photographers, specifically for fellow dog photographers. But today we are taking a slight departure from our typical formula, right, would you say? Because we are just going to catch you up because we have been gone now for, what has it been, like 2 months, 3 months?
I think it's been like 3 months.
Oh my goodness. Because we did the most epic thing, like the most impossible thing that I could never have imagined that we could do. And it was that we put on our own dog photography conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, which was in early September. So leading up to that was like a absolutely bananas time. We have never worked so hard and we'll get into it. I've never seen you work so hard, Sam. I mean, seriously, I don't usually say nice things about you. Mm-hmm. It's not usually in my cornucopia of ideas to say nice things. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it. You worked so hard. I've never seen anything like it. But with that, we took some time off to make Shutterhound a reality. It was so unbelievable. I can't even begin, but I will begin because that's what this podcast is about today. And then the subsequent big adventure that we had afterwards, which started our road trip across the country from Las Vegas back to New Hampshire.
We'll be covering that road trip in a different episode.
For sure. But that's just kind of what we've been up to. Like, we didn't just go to Shutterhound for 3 days and then fly right back home. And we've been home since September 7th. You know what I mean? We didn't get home for about a month after, or was it like 3 weeks after?
Yeah, it was close to a month.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we've been, what we've been up to. Plus, then we got home, we had dog breath shoots because it was like crazy gorgeous fall, like high fall season with the most amazing colors.
And I had to sleep.
And you slept a lot. And you're still sleeping, like actively right now.
Yeah. Good night. Well, take it away from the next. Oh. Hey, it's Chris Miller time.
It's, oh my gosh, you're right.
That's our new slogan. We'll talk about Chris Miller later.
Yep.
If Chris Miller, if you're listening to this, you're probably on a treadmill and and a different continent on a treadmill somewhere.
That's brilliant.
Trying not to crack up at the gym.
I will say that this is a Polar Junior and the flavor is werewolf howls, which makes me so happy because it was just Halloween 2 days ago.
Yeah. And werewolf is kind of dog related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're on brand.
Yeah, that works out. That works out. Okay, so Sam, how the heck do we do this? How do we like start it?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. So I think what some people might like to know is some of the more interesting behind the scenes stuff, what it took to really get there, get the whole thing up and running, and then maybe some of your favorite takeaways from attending some of the classes, some of your favorite moments meeting some of these dog photographers for the first time, all that good stuff. So I would start by saying that we had a ridiculously amazing team helping us put this thing on. If you went to Shutterhound and you had a good time, it's because there were a lot of people just working basically around the clock, very long hours, much longer than they should have, and they were doing it without complaint and with a smile on their faces. So a big thank you to everyone who is on our team that you may or may not have met or seen. Started with my cousin April, who did all the visuals for Shutterhound, and she was on the ground in Las Vegas about 5 days before the event working her butt off.
All right, you're going to get really mad at me about
this. Oh, we're going to start over. Yeah. Go to a party.
No, stop doing the theme song. No one does a theme song like Kaylee Greer.
Uh-huh.
No, but I think that like very quickly, we should just like, I'm just going to say the word like 700 more times. I'm just going to interrupt you and say the word like for the rest of time. No, we need to just summarize quickly, like Shutterhound. I know you were like Shutterhound or whatever you said earlier.
Yeah, Shutterhound.
Yeah. That wasn't a very good intro for people who are just like picking this up. Okay, so I know I mentioned that we just did a dog photography conference, but Shutterhound was the first ever of its kind dog photography only conference for dog photographers from all around the world to come together. Like I said, for the first time ever in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Mirage Resort and Casino. We were there for three totally unforgettable days of just like nonstop education, classes from basically 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day with cool events after hours and with William Wegman as the featured evening with sort of like legendary speaker who came all the way out from his home, the most incredible place in Maine where he lives, and he flew all the way out to Vegas from there with his daughter, which was just incredible to have him. And I just want to make sure that people kind of know what we are talking. You're talking about April being there 5 days beforehand and people didn't even know where. So I've got you, Sam.
Oh, great. Thank you. We're keeping this thing totally linear. So, yes, Las Vegas, Nevada, one behind the scenes thing is once every couple years or whatever, Las Vegas seems to completely flood with like torrential downpours and that sort of thing. But it's extremely rare. And that happened 2 days before Shutterhound. So we missed like a real like catastrophic sort of event by just a couple days.
Well, I thought that it doesn't flood but once every like 10 or 15 years. I didn't think it was like even
it happened. It happened. It was either last year or 2 years ago. There was another flood and there was videos of like waterfalls like pouring into the casinos and things like that. But it's so rare that they get any rain of any kind.
Yeah, they just don't have the infrastructure to like deal with like large amounts of water because it almost never rains out there. It's in the desert, right? So it did rain. What did it rain for, like 2 days, kind of like nonstop thunderstorms for 2 days before we got there?
Right. And they don't have like a traditional like drainage sewer system or something like that. They have something totally different built under the city because they get so little rain. And so they're generally caught really unprepared for that sort of thing. And seriously, like this came so close to just absolutely destroying like everyone's travel coming in and you know, people's experience getting to the hotel functioning, the party, like everything. And we squeaked by with beautiful weather, like just at the nick of time. So I'm going to say that I'm very thankful for that. But yes, while April was there getting some things ready, she had sent me photos of her walking through a street with water up to like her shins.
Which, you just didn't share those with me selectively, I suppose, huh?
Listen, you need to be kept informed of certain things and other things. Uh-huh. We figure it out as it happens.
Protect my mental health.
Yes, that was the name of the game for the last 3 months.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what? I have never seen you work so hard, like leading up to a thing, an event, a scheduled piece of work on our calendar. I don't know how else to describe it. We have had lots of like really big things we've done throughout the years. It's been what, like 13 years now of photographing dogs professionally. It's so unbelievable. It's so crazy. And there's been some really, really big things that we've done that have been like incredible and have required moving parts. But nothing has ever, I don't think, even come close to this level of work and production. And I mean, you were like, I don't know. I never saw you. You were on Zoom calls from like 9 a.m. to like 1 a.m. Like you were on, I haven't seen anything like it. And I ate so much expired soup. I don't know. I think in some of our previous episodes, like right as we were leading up to Shutterhound, like I think we talked a little bit about like our diets, which were absolutely terrible leading up to it, because normally you fancy a cooking. You usually do a lot of cooking. You just like really enjoy spending time in the kitchen and making cool stuff. So I'm very spoiled in that way because I hate cooking and you always make cool stuff. And leading up to Shutterhound, at least in the final month, you were like not doing anything in terms of like house chores or keeping or cooking or anything at all.
Or taking care of myself.
Exactly, yeah. So I had to fend for myself for the first time in kind of a long time in terms of just like food, because usually I'm so spoiled and it's just kind of...
It was rough.
There. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, it's dinner time. Let me go see what Sam's doing. And then you're like, dinner's ready. And I didn't even know you were doing it.
It needs to be not only made for you, but then placed in front of you and with like a fork and knife, like put into your hands.
No, because I did fend for myself and I ate so much soup. That's all I ate. Every night I had soup. And it was like at 11:30 p.m. every night I had soup.
So
canned soup, not like homemade, just like Campbell's, you know.
So fellow dog photographer and friend Maria Bivens, she also runs a company that does a lot of merchandise. It's called Sports Pins International, and she helped us out tremendously with making all the merch for Shutterhound. But she goes to Las Vegas like every couple weeks, and just before Shutterhound, she posted this beautiful dinner that she went out to, and she described like each course, and this was on Facebook. And so I just replied to her and I said, Kaylee ate a can of expired soup tonight.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. When I was eating all those soups, what were you eating?
Probably chicken and rice. Oh, no. Sorry, I wasn't eating correctly. I was eating microwave burritos for like a good 60 days.
Yeah, that's right. I remember buying a ton of them. You're like, pick me up like 60 more burritos.
Yeah, honestly, I got into the worst shape of my adult life leading up to Shutterhound.
Yeah. Which stinks because it's like you want to look great for the event. But I personally abandoned all hope on that front. I was like, nope. I don't have a single minute to go to the gym or to like try to go get like good real food. It was nuts. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, no, it was bad. Getting back into it, I've hit the gym hard again and dialed in my diet really good. I feel really good about where I'm at now. My goal is to get in the best shape of my adult life by our next workshop that we're doing, which is in January in Florida, because I'll be on the beach and I may even have to be shirtless.
Ooh, I don't know. Remember the last time we were there and you got like a third degree sunburn? I think we talked about that.
We did talk about it, yes.
Yeah. So just be careful there. You're so white, you're like translucent.
Yeah.
You are like the lightest, whitest skin I've ever seen.
I'm working on it one thing at a time. So back to Shutterhound. It was a lot of work getting that thing up and running, and one of the most ridiculous things that we've ever done, that we've ever spent money on, planned, anything, was getting our dogs to Las Vegas.
So I wanted to keep it a surprise, because I remember in one of the podcasts right before we left, like, you let it spill, and I was like, no.
You made me stop and edit it out.
Because, like, I want to surprise people that Joshua and Junie are going to be there, because there was two special events that I want, that they were real, it was important to us for them to be there for. One of them was Junie's VIP no swimming pool party, mm-hmm. which happened after the first day of the conference. This happened at the, like, pool side down at the Mirage pool, and it was all themed out with, like, pink flamingos and, like, kind of tropical stuff. And then Junie was the host of that party, and she was all over the signage, and we sold, like, beach towels with her face on them and everything. And so we wanted to surprise people with, like, her grand entrance, which I don't know if we should get into, or maybe we'll wait on getting there. But
yeah, we'll try to tackle that linearly. But okay, but yes, yeah, it was important for her to be there, and it's important for Joshua to be there.
And then Joshua's reason for being there was the Joshua Award, which was, I mean, probably the most. You and I can't actually even talk about that, because we're just gonna we won't be able to keep it together. We just cry. I think on stage, it's funny. I didn't expect you, when you gave that award, to, like, really lean so hard on me for speaking about it, because you were like, I got this, like, I've kind of written something up, I know what I'm gonna say. Well, and you opened your mouth and couldn't get the words out, and then you looked at me and I go, oh no, shit, I know that look, and he needs me to do it, but I have no idea what he was gonna say. So anyway, we'll get there, I guess.
Well, one thing I did figure out as we were getting into Shutterhound, as we were leading up to it, is that I was getting so worn down, but also, like, emotionally drained, and I was crying at, like, a lot of weird things.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because you were weakened.
I was like, my brain was just, like, total mush, and I was on the plane putting together one of the slides that we were going to do, and I was adding these cross dissolve transitions in between photos of dogs and people, and I was just uncontrollably crying.
I know. I was sitting right next to you.
On the airplane. Sweet. I'm like, how am I going to give this thing, like, in a couple days? I can't even. We'll talk about the other times I cried during Shutterhound. It's not always at an emotional thing. It was sometimes at some weird stuff, so.
Yeah, I don't know, but there were a lot of tears at Shutterhound. Like, good tears, though, I think. Like, lots of real, like, big, big inspiration and beautiful stories and lots of impact. I think all of us cried every day. Everyone who attended.
We had a real missed opportunity to not have Shutterhound branded tissues. I think that if we wind up doing another one in the future, we're going to have to do those.
Yeah, no, I know, it's true. I mean, it's not sad, though. You don't want to give people the vibe that it's this is going to be the saddest 3 days
of your life. But it's emotional, and I think that's one of the special things about what we photograph, is that people have such strong emotional connections to their dogs. Yeah. Like, I can't even look at our dogs without crying.
I know, me too, every day. Yeah. I look at them and I tear up every day. I can't stand it.
Yeah, we're on the couch in the studio, and Junie's laying next to us, just laying there.
And you look like you're going to cry in any minute.
I can't even look at her stupid wrinkled face.
I know. She's so, so perfect. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So getting the dogs out there, that's what you're talking about. So that was a whole thing. So I wanted to keep it a surprise. So I didn't really make, like, a whole public thing about it, but that was like one of the single biggest expenses of Shutterhound, like, for us. We took that one on personally, but, like, as far as, like, what that actually cost in US dollars was, like, unreasonable, but also there, you can't put a price on how incredibly meaningful and special it was for us to have Joshua and Junie there at their events for this thing that we dreamed up, this once in a lifetime crazy amazing thing for, like, our community, and to have these dogs here with us. These dogs are the reason, they're the whole, especially Joshua, because he came, you know, first. We've had him for 12 years now, mm-hmm. and he's the reason for, like, everything, him and my previous pit bull Toby, you know. And it's like they inspire, they're the breath behind dog breath, right? Like, they inspired it all. So it was like, how do we, it doesn't matter what it costs, let's get them there. And that was so special. I can't describe the feeling of, like, seeing them arrive at the casino, and then like we were in the trade show area, we were getting it all set up, and there was just us and like a vendor or two, and it was like 10 p.m. and Josh and Junie were in there with us, and the two of them were zooming around going crazy, playing, rolling, just like in Las Vegas. I'm like, get out of here. These dogs, like, they go to Florida and they go to anywhere in New England, and that's about it. That's about what they've seen in their lifetimes, you know what I mean? So like to have them in Las Vegas seemed so just like wild and out of place. It was such an incredible feeling.
Well, and the fact that they arrived not with us.
Yeah, so you can go ahead if you want on that front.
Yeah, getting them there. So we did try to figure out logistically, how do we get these dogs there? Like if they were like Maltipoos or something like that, I could probably put them like in a purse and take them on the plane with us. Like not a big deal, but they're big dogs. And they're like, technically they're both like pit bulls, you know, which are, you know, it's like carrying like an alligator onto the plane.
Yeah, it's like really wild that in 2023, like they're still like somewhat discriminated against.
Yeah.
Although I will say it's gotten way better in the last like 10 years.
It's definitely gotten better. We didn't have to worry about like, oh, if we go through Denver on our road trip, like, you know, will they seize our dogs?
Yeah,
it's,
but there were still some towns we had to worry about.
Right. So
that's absolutely wild. It's crazy. It's like dog racism. It's wild. Yeah. It's like still you can look at a thing and be like, you have this shaped head. You're inherently evil. You know what? It's so wild. But
right. Anyway. So anyway, so they're both great dogs. So we're figuring out like, all right, how do we get them there? I priced a private plane to see what that
did
would...
Did you really? Yeah, you didn't tell me that.
It wasn't going to happen.
Well, I was reading actually that if you travel the world with your dog, like sometimes it actually is a lot more economical to like, not crowdsource. What's the word when you get like a lot of people, like group pay for like dogs to be flown? So you have to find like other people who want to fly with their dogs. And then if you get like 10 people together,
yeah,
it like makes way more sense financially.
Correct. Yes.
To fly privately.
Yes. Yeah. That would make sense if we had a bunch of people that needed that. But just for us, it was going to cost us like close to 20 grand or whatever to do that. So we're like, okay, that's out.
It was
not that much money. No. So we found our two friends of ours that happened to have just like the perfect set of skills for what we needed. They were two friends who hadn't really spent time with one another, which was the funny part.
Well, I mean, they know each other really well,
like, but not super well until this road trip that we sent them on, where they had both traveled the country in, you know, RVs. So they both had cross-country road trip experience, and they both had big dogs. And so they knew like how to handle dogs, how to drive long distances. They're both responsible, like people that we trust. That's a short list of people that we trust with the dogs.
That we would trust with Joshua and Junie. Yeah.
Yes. But your cousin Emily and our very good friend Ken McKenzie, owner of the Merrimack Company.
Hey, you just peeled back the fourth wall or whatever. Now when people hear the ad, they're going to be like, oh, I see what's going here. Going on. I see what's going on here. Insider trading.
Insider trading. Yeah. We're both majority stockholders in Merrimack Company.
No, but actually we're not at all. But I will say that I think this season two will have different ads. I'm thinking maybe this particular episode has none. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking
ad-free
that.
Episode
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we have some other sponsor interests, so maybe we. I love Ken dearly, but you know, we just kind of change it up for season two. We'll see.
But he's got a pony up.
Well, I don't know about that.
Anyways, so we basically we rented them a Chevy Suburban. We got a giant SUV. We loaded it up with the dogs and a bunch of stuff that we needed to bring from New Hampshire to Las Vegas. And we said, we will see you in 5 days.
Well, the weird thing was like they left way before we did. So here's the reason why we didn't drive it, because we love road tripping. We're always on the road. We're super travelers. But we had so much. You have to understand that we produced this like 3-day conference with hundreds and hundreds of attendees and with 15 speakers that came from all around the world by ourselves, like truly. And when I say by ourselves, I mean like 20% me, 80% Sam, like by ourselves. And that truly is like the job of a team. Like a small company would usually be the amount of people that would put, maybe a company of like 15 to 18 employees would usually be the amount of people to put something like this together. If you really wanted to like scrounge on budget, you could probably do it with like 10 people, 8 or 10 people, but it was just you and me. I mean, until we physically got to Vegas and we had like our other hands on deck, like physically, it was just me and you. April did help us for sure a lot leading up to it.
I leaned on April a lot for a lot of our vendor stuff. And it was funny, like there was one of our PAs, like, you know, it's basically like an assistant for all the visual stuff. Her name, well, my brain, Bree?
Bree,
okay, sorry, my brain just stopped working. Bree asked me at one point, she's like, is everyone who works here related? And I was like, yeah, kinda. so we had a lot of like our very good friends and family members and things like that working this event, but also it's just they're also the people that if we were related to them or not, they're the best people for those jobs. So like when I say, oh, my cousin April like helped me out with this, like she was a set designer on the Today Show for like a decade. She's a professor at Pace University. She's like she's all business. So we were very lucky that we could have her on board. When she took off after she had finished setting up all the visual stuff, your cousin Valerie took over her role of again all the visual stuff that was happening, and she did an incredible job. She just happens to have that same sort of skill set. So we had a lot of family members there. We had a lot of really good friends, but they were just very talented people that we happened to surround ourselves with. We'll talk about some more of them
and
as
now
we
that
go
you
on.
Mentioned April, I kind of like take that back that it was just me and you, because at the very kind of end, in the last like few weeks, I mean, she was like,
she was a superhero.
Unbelievable. Like, she swooped in and saved us from so many like small disasters.
Yes.
So shout out to April for your help. But yeah, overall, like two or three people putting together this conference is just like kind of a ridiculous idea. And if we were to ever do another one, it would definitely be a very large, not huge, but a much bigger team. So I think the whole point of what we were just talking about, we went on a super tangent there, was that we couldn't physically, in terms of the dog's road trip out, we couldn't physically leave our like headquarters, like our studio where we were working nonstop until like the day before, because if we were on the road for the 5 days leading up to it, because it takes 40 hours of like just nonstop driving time from New Hampshire to Vegas. So it would be like 5 days if you paced it out, like to be a reasonable amount of driving every day. You know, we'd be on the road with like no Wi-Fi, no internet connection in some really remote places, trying to like deal with like speakers flying in and dealing with their flights and their questions and like attendees questions and, you know, dealing with the casino and then the performance acts that we had. Like, there was so much juggling and so many hats we had to wear that we were like, it's probably a really bad idea to be off grid for 5 days, the 5 days prior to the event. So Emily and Ken got in the Suburban that we rented for them. We rented that because it's like the biggest SUV on the market, I think.
It's pretty close.
Beside the Escalade.
Escalade's the biggest one, but it's right up there. It's giant.
It's huge.
We could drive we have an MDX and we could drive it into the Suburban.
Yeah,
it's that big.
Yeah. So they took off, like 5 days before the event or maybe 6 days before the event started. And then when we flew in like the day, 2 days before it started.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there and had a whole like day and a half before they arrived, didn't we? Or was it later?
It was two days before, because we hit the ground running. We got there really late one night, and then the very next morning we got up super early, and I had to go and rent a U-Haul and drive to our other good friend Jesse's house. Jesse and Kurt, they live in Las Vegas, and they were so kind to allow us to ship some things that we needed for the conference to their house.
Because
shipping things to the hotel and expecting them to store it, those costs add up very quickly.
Oh,
so
yeah, like ridiculous. I mean, like the hotel was willing to do like pretty much anything for us, but it was always for this ridiculous price tag.
Right.
They're always like, we can do this for this amount of money.
Right.
You can put this sign here for $8,000. And you're like, there's so many logistics to deal with when it came to all that.
Yes. And the hotel was great, but we're like, let's save some money where we can. And again, so I rented. First thing I did, got up super early.
Okay, but you're kind of skipping, like you're skipping a bunch of stuff. So, and we're not going to spend a ton of time because I don't know how interesting this part is to people. Sam, okay. I think your joke is tired.
I think it gets funnier every time I do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I disagree. So we don't have to go through like every little nitty gritty. But basically, we flew in, and then my point was that we, even though Emily and Ken had driven off of our driveway or out of our driveway like 5 days prior to that, they still didn't arrive in Vegas with the dogs until like 2 days after we got there.
Correct.
So that's the gift of flight, everyone.
Yes.
That shows you the power of 30,000 feet in the air, 500 miles an hour, or whatever it is.
Yes. Big thank you to the Wright brothers.
Yes, exactly. Shout out. Anyway, so when we got there like 2 days ahead of time. And that's because we needed to kind of hit the ground running with like setup. There was just so much setup to be done for the show. The stages, the lighting, all the signage and everything, which, you know, most of it we hadn't seen. Like, we had spent months and months designing it all and getting it all ready and shipping off to the, the printer or whatever, to the labs, and then like not knowing how they came out, which is like crazy and mm-hmm. so anxious and anxiety filled, because you're like, I hope everything's right. We're going to get to Vegas 2 days before and it's going to be just like fingers crossed this all came out right. And that was all at Jesse's house. Shout out to Jesse and Kurt and Princess Cookie.
So I pulled up to Jesse's house and she's like, oh, everything's in our garage. And she opens up her garage and it's just floor to ceiling, wall to wall boxes of ours. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And
literally,
she's like,
because we started shipping stuff out there in like March 2023.
Yeah.
And an entire room in her home was taken up by Shutterhound like swag and stuff. And she didn't even like remotely. She was the sweetest, loveliest. She didn't complain. She never mentioned like, hey guys, this is getting to be a lot. Nothing. And she, by the way, has a family. Has like children and a husband and many dogs, you know, and we took up an entire room in our house.
Yep. They were so lovely. And so we unloaded all that stuff and into the van that I rented, and then we just basically hit the ground running, doing so much setup work. And that's when, you know, we had a couple other staff members come in. I want to talk very quickly about Ryan Ritter.
Oh, he was incredible. Ryan, shout out. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but if he does, shout out to Ryan.
So Ryan, we met, this is a wonderful thing about, I think, our industry is that, you know, dog people are definitely like a special type of people. They tend to be more, I don't know, more emotional, like more in touch with their feelings, that sort of thing. We meet a lot of really special people. And then you add in the photographers to that, and like then they're artists. And so we meet a lot of like very cool people. And Ryan was an attendee of one of our Hound Vision workshops. And I know that he has family out in Las Vegas. So we got in touch at some point and I was like, hey, do you want to like help out at Shutterhound? Maybe you can run the merch booth and trade, you know, you can go to the classes. And so that was like our agreement, and that was, you know, pretty basic. You work a couple hours a day and then you get to like, you know, enjoy the conference. And it was like, he was like, yeah, I'm definitely down for that. That sounds great. He wound up working like 14 hours a day.
He was like unbelievable. He was there at like 7 a.m. He was there at like 7, 8 a.m. to midnight every night.
Right. And I would check in with him. I'd be like, dude, at any time you can take a break, get some food, you don't have to do this. And he's like, no, I'm all about helping, I love this, like I'm here for whatever you need. He's becoming one of those people that I can't look at without crying.
It's
as
so
well
funny. Ryan and Julie Gould,
yeah,
shout out Julie. Love There's, Julie,
yes, there are some people I can't even look at without getting
You're
emotional,
so funny.
And he's becoming one of those people. But yeah, seriously, if Shutterhound, if you were there and it ran smoothly and you had a good time, it's because of people like Ryan Ritter.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I will say though, like seriously, let's just take 1 second to do like a high level like review of how that all went. Mm-hmm. It was like incredible. And I'm saying this as someone like, I had a million anxieties and fears about like what could go wrong, and if the schedule goes off time, or if the speaker doesn't show up, or if this, whatever, there's like a million things that can go wrong, right? Like 9.8 out of 10 in terms of like the experience, like how it ran, like if any problems at all, like tiny, tiny problems, there was one of our classrooms or teaching rooms where like I thought the temperature was always insane. Like the Mirage just couldn't get a handle on how to either heat or cool that room. So it was mm-hmm. either too hot or too cold, which you guys, if you were there, will know exactly what I'm talking about. It was like, are you serious? It's like the Sahara Desert in here, or it's like proper Arctic and you never knew if you needed a sweatshirt. And that was like annoying, but it was just like this tiny little
thing.
Right,
but if that's your biggest problem, yeah, then you're in a good spot.
Yeah, it really went so seamlessly. Like just no... I anticipated a decent amount of just issues, right? Because it's like our first time ever. We're not necessarily professional conference putter honors, right? Mm-hmm. Event planners or whatever. We're dog photographers. And so it was like, okay, Like, I had confidence it was going to be really incredible, but it just absolutely, like, it blasted my expectations out of the water in terms of the attendees, the energy there, just the group of people we had, and the between, like, the attendees and the speakers. June is really flailing around right now. She's trying to find a good, comfortable position. You doing okay there, little wrinkle? You're doing good, girl.
She's good. She's good.
Good girl. Yeah, no, I don't know. Whatever. So that's my high level takeaway, is like, I truly am blown away by how it all went. And honestly, I haven't had a, I don't know that I've had the real opportunity yet to actually, I don't know, give credence to the experience and how like unbelievable it was, and that that dream actually came true. I'm constantly, one of my biggest flaws is that I'm constantly like, my brain is busy always, and I'm constantly looking at the next thing without ever looking back and appreciating the things that I like have done. You say this to me a lot, that I like never celebrate my wins, and I don't really sit in my wins for very long. I'm like super terrified of becoming stagnant, but to a fault, to where like I don't go like, oh my gosh, let's celebrate what just happened. Mm-hmm. So I think this podcast, it's funny, I've been kind of, we've been so busy with shoots and our dogs and life is crazy back here in New Hampshire, that like when we were like, oh, we got to get back into the podcast, I was like, okay, it's like added to the list. It's another thing I have to do on the checklist of a million other things. But now that I'm sitting here with you actually talking about it, it like feels really good to be like, wow, that was so incredible, and like actually take stock of it.
Right, this is your therapy session.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So how do you, so how much are you charging me?
You can't afford it.
Okay.
Fair so enough. No, but you're right. I mean, and like, and obviously like I don't have the perspective of like an attendee, you know what I mean? Because sure. I had,
you
a
weren't at anything.
I had a different experience than everyone else. Yeah. Because I was, you know, being pulled in a billion directions at every given moment, because like any sort of, you know, fire that happened was always a tiny fire, you know, so it was just me putting out tiny fires all day.
Well, and like that's to be expected at a conference. There's always going to be like someone whose laptop won't hook up to the HDMI cable right before their talk starts, and there's always going to be, you know, someone who needs a different size t-shirt and we don't have it, or like just little things like that. They're just going to exist,
right?
It is what it is, right?
So, yeah. So, when people ask me, like, how did Cheddarhound go, I can say, like, honestly, like, I don't think it could have gone any better.
I truly don't. Like,
I think it could have gone, I think it could have been less work for me and for you had we, like, you know, twice as many people working there.
Right.
But yeah, as far as the experience goes, I don't think it really could have gone any better at all.
I mean, I definitely had more of, like, a quote-unquote attendee-like experience than you did, because I did get to go, like, I made it a point to be at every single class, and I, like, I didn't sleep in ever, you know what I mean? And be like, oh, I missed the first set of classes because I'm so rocked. No, I didn't. I was at every single class, and I would, because there were two tracks running at the same time, I would do 50% of one class and 50%, like, down to the minute of the other class. So I pretty much saw every single class as well, mm-hmm. or at least a part of it. But, oh, God, was it hard to, I mean, I get it. Conference style stuff is hard because you're like, you have to kind of choose between multiple things. And it was like, oh, God, where do I go right now? Like, which one do I start in? Not to mention that these photographers are all my, like, close colleagues, some of them my closest friends on this earth, and then some of them like my biggest idols. Like, and those things aren't, what do you say, mutually exclusive? Like, sometimes it's mm-hmm. my friends that are my idols, but all these people are like truly the elite of the elite in terms of like success and creativity in this industry. So it was really hard to be like, where do I go right now? Because I want to hear what every single person has to say. But anyway, with all that said, I had more an attendee-like experience than you. So I can say, like, confidently, sitting in the back of those classrooms, the level of education, the level of presentation, the level of content, like knowledge, information being shared was so off the charts. It blew my expectations away in every way. And I knew that we had world-class talent. I knew that. But I didn't even expect them and their presentations to just to be so beautiful and so meaningful and so full of like ridiculous top-notch content. I just couldn't believe it. I had goosebumps every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to check out such a smaller sampling of, yeah, of the classes, but instead of going like minute by minute or like class by class through the whole thing, can we kind of go like instructor by instructor and just give like a quick like either memory that they really stuck out with them, or something that they said, or something that they inspired you, you know, by with their talks.
Yeah, for sure. And how are we doing on time? I know that you like just glanced at the podcast clock.
Well, I just need to make sure that the recording is still running.
All right, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, there's 15 of them, so we'll try to move relatively quickly.
Yeah, luckily two of them are you and me.
Right, you and me. Woo! For you, I mean, Sam, your classes were just, they blew me away. They were incredible.
Go on.
They were so good. Go on. You are an incredibly good teacher. You're somebody who's like quite introverted in real life. Like you're just not like a boisterous, kind of loud, like show-offy person. You're quite like humble and kind of quiet and introverted. But man, when you have like something to say or something to share, like education wise or performance wise because you're also like a guitarist and a musician and you're really good at that too, but I honestly think that's also why you're really good on stage, is like you're pulling from your musician kind of experience of just like having to put on a show and carry a crowd and carry energy and stuff like that.
It's way easier to talk about photography than it is to perform like an intricate guitar solo.
I can imagine. But you are, I mean, that is why like I know so much about photography and editing, Photoshop, Lightroom, all these things because of you, truly, because you are such an incredible like wealth of knowledge on that front. And like we have always joked, Sam is an indoor kid. Sam was not like, he was not one of, he's not like a big mountain climber or a guy who's gonna go out and like get covered in oil fixing a car. I love you, it's just how you are. But with that said, you're the opposite. Like you're incredibly good at like computers and tech, and like you're just, the way that you think is extremely like intricate, and the way that you teach is excellent. And so your classes were, I mean, I expected them to be amazing, but they were amazing. And man, were they full. They were both so full.
And very popular.
Stop.
Let me show you my biggest memories from my Photoshop class. There's one at the beginning, I had asked like, so who in this classroom is like really new at Photoshop, and like, you know, like half the people raise their hand, and it's like, all right, who considers themselves pretty advanced at Photoshop, and like the other half raise their hand. And then I was like, anyone in here like code the original version of Photoshop? And Russell Brown, who did, is in the back
from
of the
Adobe.
Yeah, from Adobe. Yeah. He's in the back of the class and he raises his hand. I'm like, oh damn it. I didn't know he would be there. Which was really funny. And then the other thing is that I about halfway through that class I started to shake and sweat uncontrollably.
You hadn't eaten a thing in 12 hours.
Well, that was a thing. I was just like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna, like, do I have to go to the hospital?
Oh,
and so
geez.
I didn't let on, and I got through my class. I was like, all right, great. And then I went into the back and like basically collapsed. And it's funny, your cousin Valerie, who is again doing all the visuals and running everything like that, also like so young that I used to babysit her, she comes to me and she's like, when was the last time you ate or drank anything? And I was like, yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And so then she proceeded to then take care of me for the next like couple of days, which was like stocking me up with like electrolytes and food and that sort of
like
thing,
granola bars and so like Gatorades and stuff.
Right, so stay hydrated.
Yeah, but no, your classes were great. Were they both, they were both in the big classroom, right?
Yes, and I didn't put myself there.
I know, me neither. We didn't put me there either, right, like this, specifically.
This was run entirely by a poll that we did on our Facebook group
Email.
Yeah.
So to explain to people who might not have been there or didn't know, there were two classrooms running concurrently, but this physical size of the rooms was like pretty different. There was one huge like ballroom type room, and then one room that was still a big room, but like just more moderately sized, like more normal size, like kind of a classroom. I don't know, like a lecture room.
The smaller one held like 150 people, and the bigger one held up to 300, something like that.
Yeah, so basically what we had to do was like, okay, the only thing we don't want to end up with is a scenario where we have two talks going against each other, and the one talk that ends up garnering more people is in the small room, and then it can't physically accommodate those people. So we're like, oh crap. Once we had the schedule written, we're like, what we should probably do is poll the group who we know, like send emails to the attendees who we know are coming, and just say, hey, listen, you don't have to commit to this choice, but can you just like show us where you're more interested in going at a certain like classroom block, so we can pick the right classroom. So it ended up that your classes just had a lot of interest at your time block. So you were in the big room twice, and I was in the big room twice. I'm very, very, very humbled by that, and like that's so lovely. I mean, really though, sometimes even if someone was in the big room, a lot of times it was like pretty close to an even split, right? Like it would be like,
Yeah.
For sure.
150, 200 in one room, 150 in the other. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah. We did a good job putting different classes against each other so that nobody was like, there's no one in my class. You know what I mean? Like every single class had a healthy attendance.
They were all really busy. And I mean, it was, there's just so much magic going on all the time. Mm. It was so crazy. I thought my head was going to pop off my body from all the joy in any given moment.
Yeah.
So let's get back on track with the...
Back on track. So for your classes, I didn't really get to see too much of them, but I saw the beginning of your new class that you were giving. And I love the fact that you pulled the audience and you said, like, listen, do you want... I did two different versions of this talk. I did one designed for little babies.
I said, do you want the baby version for babies?
Yes.
Or do you want the, like, super truth-seeking warrior hardcore version or whatever?
Pull up your pants, big girl version.
Yeah, whatever. And luckily, they voted for the big girl version or the big kid version because I didn't write the baby one.
Yeah. But I got nothing but, like, amazing, feedback from your classes. We put you in a time slot specifically that allowed you to go as long as you would like.
Yes, I needed that. Thank you.
And that's the best part about running your own conference is you can make little decisions like that.
Kaylee's going in the spot before lunch because she's going over.
Yes.
Like, there's no way I'm going to maintain, like, keep it to an hour. It's impossible.
And I know that. So.
And actually, go in the future, like, my thought is, and I still have to pull, I've been meaning for a million years to send a survey to the Facebook group, and I have it, like, 90% done. I just need to finish it. But I think maybe going forward, if there ever were another educational event like this, and, like, really that is a big if, because you and I have a lot to talk about on that front. But with that said, I might do 90-minute slots for speakers instead of an hour. I don't know. The only thing is, like, you worry if people might get, like, a little, like, bored or tired if it's, like, for some reason not a dynamic speaker, which it always would be if you and I sourced them. It always would. We would never have someone who isn't dynamic.
You want to hash out all the details for the next one here?
No, I know, but I'm just saying because I feel like almost everybody was really racing against the clock at the end of their presentation because they just had so much to share. They're like, oh, what time is it? Shoot, I have 10 more minutes? Okay. You know what I mean? So they really tried to, like, fit it in. I mean, some people are, like, incredible at time management. Like, I bet you anything Charlotte didn't go over by, like, a second because she's, like, really perfect at that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think most other people, like, especially really, like, yeah, like, just more, like, artsy, kind of fartsy people just don't have as much, what's the word?
Time management skills logistics skills?
What's that when you have to, like, hold yourself accountable or whatever?
Accountability?
No.
self-control. Self-regulation.
Yeah,
okay.
Something like that.
No, you're totally right. So yes, I got amazing feedback about your classes.
Thank you.
I didn't get to go to any of Andrew Knapp's classes.
Oh, what a miss.
But I saw his classes get out and everyone come out, like, wiping tears from their eyes and also feeling like talking about how inspired they were. And that's I think my biggest regret is that I didn't get to physically go to any of his classes. What can you tell me about, like, a takeaway from Andrew Knapp?
Andrew Knapp, I mean, what a highlight. I mean, every single person on this list is a highlight, but what an unexpected piece of magic that human being is. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that he was really special because I followed him for years and years. And he's really authentic and genuine and so lovely, like, on social media. But you just never know, like, until you meet someone in person, like, what they're really like. And I couldn't describe how it felt to meet him except for, like, I've known you for 100 years. Like, we've been friends for, like, many past lifetimes. He was just so warm and lovely and what a, like, incredible, like, listener and so thoughtful and also so, like, silly and dynamic. And he just brought so much of himself. Like, he was so vulnerable with what kind of the artistic journey that he's been on. If people don't know who are listening to this, like, he has, like, multiple, like, you know, best-selling books. He has a series called Find Momo that went, like, ridiculously viral. This was, like, I probably 8 or 10 years ago, I think, is, like, when the first one did. But he's had this whole series since then. And he is crazy successful and, like, hasn't let an ounce of it go to his head. You know what I mean? Just, like, couldn't be lovelier. In fact, hilarious testament to this, he, in one of his classes, he was talking about, like, his lifestyle, living in a van with his dogs, driving around, seeking out adventure.
And sitting there talking about his vulnerabilities and kind of the magic of dog and what that means to him and all this. And then, like, somebody raised their hand and was like, he's like, any questions? And someone raised their hand and she was like, yeah, you still looking for a girlfriend? he was so cute. And he was like, next question. Yeah. He was so lovely. But he had one talk that was like basically himself versus imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And he had like recorded this like kind of like prearranged sort of skit where he recorded his own voice talking at him about like, you know, like what a piece of shit he is, basically. His mm-hmm. voice was like, why do you think you can do anything good? Like, you're a loser. Why do you even try? And then he would like, it would come out of like the ceiling speakers and he'd look up at it like it was and like talk to it. And then it would, you know, and then he would talk back to it, but live. And he'd be like, I think I can do it, though, you know, whatever. And it was just so, and it went so well. Like, it could have gotten like cringy and awkward if it kind of fell off track or if he got the timing wrong. But he like pulled it off so beautifully.
No,
and everybody was crying.
He's got such a big personality and he was so warm and lovely and friendly. And like you could tell he was there for the experience, too, because behind the scenes, there was some like logistic thing that came up. And I was asking him about like, you know, like getting him paid, basically. And he's like, listen, if it's too much of a problem, you don't have to pay me. I'm like, are you what?
Crazy.
No, like, You're working so hard and yeah, you definitely deserve it. I was gonna ask you if you knew about his new book that he has coming out.
Is it this? Oh God, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah,
isn't it the one where he like draws Momo into all kinds of different scenes?
Yes,
because Momo passed away.
Yes, it's called Find Momo Everywhere.
Oof.
yeah, and it's
he talked about that in his class.
So it comes out February 6th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's only like $18.
He's a graphic designer as well as a photographer. So he like does just beautiful, beautiful work when it comes to like illustrations and mock-ups. Like his keynotes were stunning. I was blown away. I was like, get out of here. This is like world-class level talent. And I was ridiculously proud to have him there.
Yeah.
It was, his classes were an absolute highlight for me.
Yeah. What a really special person. And we're so glad that we could have him there. So Andrew Knapp, following Andrew Knapp, how about your experience with Craig? Did you get to go to Craig's?
Oh, Craig! Yes, I did. I got to go to both of Craig's. Craig Turner Bullock from Photography in New Zealand. One of his classes was like a co-op class, like him and Charlotte were together, a tandem, if you will. And that was great. It was like the top 10 dog photography mistakes and how to fix them, mm-hmm. which was like such a great, like practical, like knowledge class for dog photography and just like really simple fixes you can make as a new pet photographer or dog photographer to really level up your work very quickly. That was excellent. There was like a moment with him and Charlotte where they were kind of like showing you all the different sounds that you can make to get a dog's attention. And it was like, they clearly had like rehearsed it in their hotel room beforehand and it was absolutely a riot. They had everybody like in tears. It was so like laughing. It was so funny. Excellent class. And then Craig's color theory class blew me away. Did you see it?
I didn't get to go to, listen, like out of the how many classes do we have? 30 or something like that?
Yeah, something
I think
like
we had something
that.
In the 30 classes. Yeah. I got to go to like half of like four.
Oh no. All right, well, you're gonna have to tell me once we get there which ones they were.
I will tell you because like I even though I got to go to so few, I definitely had a good cry during one of them.
Be Sophie.
No, we'll get there.
All right, cool. Craig's color theory class was incredible. He wrote these like amazing like poems to go along with color. Each color had like some music and photo examples and like these kind of videos that he put together, and then a poem that he wrote for each color to kind of illustrate exactly how that color makes you feel, like historically what does a color evoke. And then he went into, once he was done with his poem for each color, went into dog photography examples from not only himself but like all the top dog photographers' work, like pulling in different work from lots of people and showing like what colors they chose to use and kind of how that makes you feel. It was really impactful. It was amazing because I've really been thinking about it a lot as I've been shooting since then, is like it really left me with kind of a lasting effect of like how I view color and think about it when I'm shooting now. So that was like massively important for me and totally memorable. It was an amazing class.
That's awesome. It was incredible to bring him all the way from New Zealand and then not get to see him at all.
I can't believe it. I didn't get to see. That's the thing. Like, I know that this, like, this could get really long, so I'm going to try to keep it succinct. But a lot of my like closest friends on earth are also dog photographers, because that's been the nature of like traveling the world with other dog photographers, right? And like in teaching workshops with them, and we've kind of aligned ourselves, and they're some of my best friends in the world. Mm-hmm. And they came from, you know, Poland, Australia, Germany, like all over the world. And Canada, I didn't get to see almost anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I got to spend the most amount of time, I think, with Ewan, Shane, mm-hmm. and with Taryn Bayer. And I'm so grateful that I got that time at least, because it was just so much fun. I just wish I got to see everybody else more. But I just so happened to run into Ewan like the first day, and I'm so glad that I did, because we got to spend a decent amount of time together before things got really crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's transition to talking about Ewan. First of all, another guy who was just like there early and is like, can I help you set up? And
he's,
we're like,
incredible. Yes. He was like setting up his own sign. Yeah. Like there's like speaker signs with their names and they're like amazing photos, like really big, like feature speaker signs. And I like, he was helping me set them up, and he set up his own.
So
what a guy.
Ewan is one of the very few people that I got to go to their class.
Oh,
because
cool.
Because he did the live shooting demo. Yep. And our dog Junie was one of his models.
And Ewan is, just for clarification, a studio dog photographer, or mostly studio work is what he does, in just outside of Glasgow, Scotland.
Yep, he's Muttley Snaps.
He's Muttley Snaps. So look him up on Instagram if you don't follow him. He's just incredible. I've like never seen cleaner studio work.
Him and Elko, which we'll talk about, you know, did the two live demos. And with both of them, the one thing that like, I hope it was like equally as inspiring for the audience as it was like kind of like, I don't want to call it frustrating, but like they'd get everything set up and they talk about what they're going to do, and then they'd get their dog model, and then they take a picture, and then it would show up on the screen, and it would immediately be amazing.
I know.
And you were just like, come on.
I know. Like it didn't have to build up from like mediocre to amazing. It was just like, oh shit, that's like so good.
Right. It's a testament to like, to their talent, but also to like the fact that like they do this. This is what they do. You know what I mean? This is not like a bunch of guesswork for them. They're just like, here's how I do it. And then they do it. And you're like, oh, it's that like quote unquote simple.
A lot of people like to like mystify the process a little bit, because I think like maybe there's some fear of like being copied, or like giving out people like giving out their secrets, and then thinking that other people are going to kind of overtake them or something, and so they don't want to share everything. But Ewan and Elka couldn't have been more like completely transparent and ridiculously just open about how they shoot, because their work is like renowned. I mean, Elka's work I see all the time, like commercially. It's like used by Adobe. It's used in ads all over the world. I see it all the time. Her work is like very famous at this point. And you look at it and you think like, oh my gosh, this is so unreal. There must be some incredible formula behind the scenes that she knows that's a secret. But she bared it all and revealed everything. And it's so simple. It truly is so simple. And it was like really cool of them to be like, no, here's how I do it. This is exactly how I do it. And I'm not trying to hide it. And also, it's really easy. Let me show you.
Yeah. And Elka, because she was doing the other live demo that was one of the other classes I was at, because I was helping kind of facilitate some of the technical stuff with the live demos, because it's really not a one person job.
Right. Because now there's like lighting and a backdrop and live dog models and
tethering to Lightroom and all that stuff. So I was there to help with both of them. And it's funny because, you know, you think like, you and I have been doing this job of photographing dogs for so long now, and you think that like, there's nothing else to learn. And then you learn something, and it's always like the simplest, stupidest thing that you learn. And you're like, that's incredible. And Elka, do you know what I'm about to say?
Yeah, it's the liver pate on the wooden spoon.
It's the wooden spoon that she uses. It's so funny. And in order to get dogs to work with it, because she's shooting kind of wide angle, so she's not that far away.
Like, but 24 mil or something, right?
But she's not as close as you, because like when you're shooting, you're often at arm's length and you can reach out and treat the dog, and you know, no big deal. She's a little bit further away, but she's got this long wooden spoon, and she just shove it like into the dog's mouth so they can have like a treat when they need it. And then she's like, she doesn't have to move. It's incredible. And what a stupid, like, stupid, simple trick. And I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe, like, I never thought of it. I will never be able to think of Elka again without thinking of the spoon.
And it's funny, too, because she just put up a portrait recently that was taken of her by, like, another photographer.
And she has the spoon.
And she's got the spoon in it. She's, like, holding it up proudly. It's just adorable. But not to glaze over Ewan, I just want to mention, like, it was, like, one of his first times speaking on, like, a stage of that size. Yeah. And he absolutely blew me away. Like, he rocked it. He's like you, he's quite introverted in person as well, and so he's not like a big like overly boisterous, like, I'm gonna like just talk so everybody looks at me sort of person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, he's very like, it's quiet and humble.
It's the way introverts work, is that if we're in a group setting, like, you're not gonna hear from us. But if we're on stage, it's like, oh, you're looking at me for a reason. Yeah. Here I am. Here's all the things I have to say.
I mean, he just blew me away with his... And he's, like we said, he's Scottish, so he wore his kilt.
He sure did.
His kilt on stage, and he also had a sweater, a handmade sweater with a dachshund on it. He was just brilliant. And so he showed his whole process live. And highlight for me was that he used Junie as one of his models. He had two models. He had Bootsy, who's a dog I photographed before, who's absolutely incredible and has the most incredible little underbite. It's a little like schnauzer thing. And Bootsy did amazing. And then just for some variety, Junie went up there because Junie was in Vegas anyway. So she might as well like model for one of the best studio dog photographers in the world.
Yep.
And then selfishly, I get a print of it at the end.
Exactly. Junie with her one expression.
Yep, exactly. What a riot. So Ewan just absolutely rocked it. I did not see his other class because it was on at the same time as my second class.
Yes.
So I missed that one. It was an editing class.
Exactly. And I was putting out several small fires during the second one.
Fair. All right. Well, we probably have to move through these like people quickly.
All right.
I'm just looking at the time. I don't know. I mean, it's been what? Here's the thing. Insider info. Sam has a second podcast to record tonight.
Yeah. It's Adventures in Cat Photography.
Yeah, of course. I think you made the exact same joke last time.
And I'll make it again.
Sam, well, seriously, what time is your next podcast? Like, how far from now?
An hour from now,
yeah, but you need like a breather between.
I need to full transparency, I need to cook you dinner in between the two podcasts.
What are we having?
We're having an herbed chicken and rice casserole.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Wow, that's so fancy. Okay, so give me the next name.
All right, next name. Charlotte,
I did see her natural light class, but only for a little less time than what I saw for everyone else's. So I think I saw her class for like 15 minutes because it was the very first one after the keynote, right?
Yes.
Yes. So we were just coming off a stage. We had acrobats coming off. We didn't even get to talk about this yet. We had like acrobats there with us. We had all this stuff going on, and we got off stage, and also like my whole family was there. My brother, my dad, my mom, my mom's boyfriend, who is just, I love him, he's so great. And my cousins' brand new baby. Like, there was a lot of family there. So right after the keynote, I kind of got, you know, caught up in the, everyone's like, oh my god, wow, that was amazing, and this is crazy, it's starting, you know, we were all like buzzing. And then by the time I got into Charlotte's, I had like 15 minutes there before I could get to the second class that was happening at the same time, which was Andrew's.
Yeah. Well, what I know about Charlotte is she's one of the most like rock solid, fully trustworthy, like I don't have to double check on her or worry about her. I know that she's going to deliver like amazing content. That natural light, you know, class, like I've seen a version of it before. It's like, we need this right off the bat in order to set everyone up like for success. First. That's why it was first.
Yeah, it's like the most big, because it's really important like information to build the foundation of dog photography on.
Yeah.
And what I did see of it was insane, and it was massively like recrafted and leveled up from anyone that I'd seen her ever do before. And like, you just have to know that Charlotte Reeves is like the master of natural light dog photography. Like, I can't think of anyone on earth that I would say knows how to handle natural light better than her. She's been doing it the longest too, by far. I mean, she was shooting for years before I was, and that I started 13 years ago. I want to say she started like 16 years ago. And we connected up early because we were like really friends online, and then decided to teach a workshop together in Australia in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time that we met her in person. No, sorry, she came to the U.S. before that.
I have photos of you guys from like 12 years ago, and Charlotte's got these big thick glasses on.
She's so cute.
Yes.
But she's unreal. And I'm not just saying all that stuff about her because she's my friend. She truly is like one of the like original masters. masters of this. And she was doing it like way before it was a quote unquote a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she was incredible. And then her other class was the one with Craig, which, by the way, her first class that we're like glazing over the title was called Sunshine Wrangling, Mastering Natural Light.
We helped with some of the titles.
Well, yeah. There's actually, that's the name
there's of some the Greerisms in there.
Well, yeah, because it's the name of the Natural Light chapter in my book.
Yes.
Sunshine Wrangling. And I'm like, that's the best way to call it. It's the best thing to call it. And I can use it because it's not copyright infringement because it's my own book and my own conference.
Beautiful. Let's talk about Miss Taryn Bear.
Oh, Taryn was incredible, too. Taryn was in the big room at one point, too, and it was slam-packed out. Yeah. She had one relationship storytelling because I have never seen anyone on earth better than her at photographing pets and people together. Mm-hmm. Like the relationship images that she can snag, like I can't even begin to describe. And she's photographed us with Josh and June before, and they're like the most coveted like possessions that I own because she is so good at just capturing this natural, candid moment. She inspires me so much. And when I'm on my shoots with like my clients, I think about Taryn a lot. I'm like, all right, what, you know, what would Taryn do? WWTD, you know, like how would I capture like the human dog bond? Because absolutely, admittedly, like I feel like I really have mastered dog portraiture, but when it comes to adding people into the mix, I still get like nervous. I don't really love it. I don't feel completely at home with it still. So I think about kind of how she handles it a lot. So that class was amazing. And there was you and me and Josh and June in there. Mm-hmm. One of our pictures or a couple of them were in there. And then her other class, which was the one like really extra packed out, was the like creating an like unforgettable client experience, because there's nobody that I know that does that better than her.
Yes.
Like this bespoke, boutique, ridiculous, high-end experience.
Right. And it goes like all the way back to like her branding, her business name, her fonts, her colors, like everything, you know, is very cohesive and always makes us feel like we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you want to look her up, if you don't follow her already, she's Westway Studio on Instagram and Facebook and all the places.
Right. And I love that because like it's not, and I'm sure I'm going to nail someone's business name right on the head with this, but like it's not like Fuzzy Paw Portraits by Veronica Dog Photos.com.
You know what I mean? You did a nice job separating it out from anything real when you added Veronica.com.
But it's not that far off. And like, I know there's only so many dog related puns or whatever, but I think she's got like a really nice, classy business name.
Strong.
And it's strong and it goes with everything that she does, including the way that their photos look.
Yeah, for sure. She's incredible. And people were clearly very interested in that topic because it was so packed out. And
it was really
I get
busy.
It because when you're starting a business or you're a little bit newer to this, like you really want to know how to like make your experience stand way, way far out from, you know, everyone else in your kind of market.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really amazing class. I caught half of that one.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about me absolutely losing my shit and crying during this one class. So Carly Davidson.
Oh, Carly Davidson. I should have known.
This is our first time meeting Carly.
Oh my gosh.
No
she's
idea what to expect.
She's everything I wanted her to be. Everything I wanted her to be and more.
Oh, she's so much more. She's so easy to talk to. She's so lovely. And she sent us like so many messages just saying how like important Cheddarhound was for her because she's been kind of like, she kind of removed herself from the industry for a little while. She went really, really viral with her Shake series. I mean, if you haven't seen them, like I'd be shocked, but like, you know, Google it if you haven't seen it before. It's Carly Davidson's Shake series. But that was a while ago, and she garnered a lot of attention, a lot of, you know, jobs came from that and everything, but she hasn't really been a part of the dog photography like industry for a couple of years. And one of the things that she told me during one of the breaks was she's like, hey, I've got this one class where I talk about kind of burnout and my personal journey and you know, what that's looked like in the industry. And I want to share these photos that I shot in 2016, and I told myself like these are terrible, like they're not worth sharing, but I want to share them for the first time in this class here. And I was like, that's awesome, I love that so much. And then she told me what they were, and I knew I had to go see it. And so what wound up happening was I'm pretty sure she broke my brain, because the photos are a series of dogs from behind, so it's their butts. but they're wearing sunglasses on their butts, and they and she shoots it in such a way where they look like faces, and some of them are incredible. Because,
like, the tail's the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good.
And just the dog she selected for it and the way that she's shot it and everything, it's so funny, and it's so well done, and it's so stupid, the concept.
And the name is brilliant.
What's the name of it again?
Hindsight.
Hindsight. It's so it's like, the concept is so silly. Yeah. But the execution is so amazing.
It is, and like, then absolute expert masterclass level.
And then to see her sharing this work for the first time, which, you know, is like so emotional, like, for her.
Very vulnerable, you know?
Makes me like so proud of her. Yeah. And so I'm in the class and I'm crying uncontrollably.
Oh, so is she.
Looking at photos of dogs' butts with sunglasses on them.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
And I was like, my brain is broken. It's fully broken.
See it. If you haven't seen the series, go to either Carly Davidson's Instagram, which is just Carly Davidson, and it's Carly with just an I at the end, not a Y, and no E. Or maybe her website. They might be on her website by now, but I don't think she's on Facebook, because she was like talking about how her page got hacked, and I think she deleted it.
Facebook, I don't think, is long for this world, but we're talking about that a different
day. We need to talk about that next week. I'm really feeling feelings about social media right now.
Yeah, but Carly was such a special person to meet, and I loved
her classes.
I'm really, really hoping to see more of her, both in person and also in the dog photography community. So if you got a chance to go to her class, you know how special it was. If you didn't get a chance to go, you got to look her up and really like encourage her to do more of this Hindsight series, because it's absolutely incredible. Did you get a chance to see any of Alicia?
I did.
Zimaswaska's
classes. I was at both
classes.
Alicia's classes. They were incredible. She's so funny. She surprised me so much. She has such a ridiculous sense of humor. It's very sarcasm based. Mm-hmm. It was just so funny. She even pulled up like one of my photos, I think, and she was like, "Oh, good light in there, Kaylee Greer." Like, it was like, because it was like a cell phone photo of her. A behind the scenes of her photographing Josh and Junie, because we were so lucky to have her photograph Josh and June around this time last year. Mm-hmm. She came from Poland and we were able to hire her. And I sent her a behind the scenes photo, and she used it in her class, which was a class about the fairy tale of like location and how you can make any location look like something just totally insane and out of a storybook, which is something she is unbelievable at. And she pulled up my behind the scenes photo and kind of made like a joke about how shitty it was and was kind of trying to allude to like, oh, you're supposed to be this great photographer and look at this image that you thought would suffice to share with me. But anyway, it was great. And her classes were excellent. One of them was on composition. I think it was called The Sorcery of Composition, and basically how you can get your viewer's eye to kind of move through a photo depending on the different like rules of composition. I know I've said this a lot about different speakers like along the way, but Alicia is like truly a master, like the best in the world at dog photography and at what she does with like her craft. The way that she composes images, I mean, it's truly art. When I look at her work, I think like, this is proper fine art. I want to hang it all over my house. So just for those of you who are thinking, wow, Kaylee really won't shut up. Sam left the room a while ago and I just had to like hold that space and just keep talking.
I had another podcast to record in that meantime.
I mean, but honestly, you do. Why did you leave? Can you be honest?
Oh, great. So we could have done it seamlessly, or we could stop the whole thing.
I did a good job, and I was talking all about Alicia and her amazing, like, her ability to compose photos like nobody else I've ever seen. And then you came back.
And I could hear you the whole time. Yeah. I was just down the hall.
Oh, you just had to pee.
I had to pee.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Why didn't you say you have to pee? No one's mad about pee. Everyone does it.
Great.
Did you go to Alicia's classes?
No,
at all?
I didn't get to go to
Sam,
anyone's
classes. Your joke is no good anymore. It's hitting. It's batting zero. Is that a thing? Zero? A batting score? Zero?
Incorrect. I think I'm killing it.
Okay.
No, I didn't get to go to any of her classes. There were so many people that like I saw. You know, for about 30 seconds, like Nicole Begley.
I didn't see Nicole at all. I can't believe
One of our closest friends in the whole industry, like an amazing, unbelievable business person.
Ridiculous.
And I saw her at we had a little speaker dinner the night before. And then I saw her basically as she was rolling her bag out of the hotel.
Oh my God. It's so weird that everybody else got to spend time together. I will say that. Like, I know that all the speakers like really got to like go to dinner together and go to the bar and like really get to know each other. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm very, very like FOMO and jealous that I didn't get to spend like any any time with anyone, but that's the nature of it, right? Like, if you were the conference organizer, like, every single minute little thing throughout the day falls on you, and you can't just, like, relax. I knew this going in.
I did see a video of Nicole doing a dance on stage, though.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, that was her Money in the Pockets dance. Money in the Pockets dance. Because she had two business classes, one on the real reason you aren't booking more clients, which I believe is like marketing class, but I did not get to see that because that was on the same time as me. And the other one, or maybe the money one, was on the same time as me. And the other one was put more money in your pockets, which is about like pricing and sales. And I can't remember why I didn't get to see the one. One of them was on the same time as me, so I couldn't physically be there. And the other one, genuinely can't remember, but I feel like I was doing something to do with a bird that was wearing pants at one point.
Yeah, there was a bird. There was a bird with pants on at
Baxter,
some point.
The pigeon was there, and his owner was like, we were like hanging out, and I was like getting to hold the pigeon. And I think I must have been, I can't remember. It was a complete whirlwind how I missed that. But, but Nicole's one of my closest friends in the industry, and we teach together all the time. We've been teaching together for what, like 7 years or something? So luckily her content, I can like, I can glean off of like when we teach together, I can get that info, but she's an amazing teacher. She had like ridiculous, amazing reviews from her classes. Like I heard some of her classes being the most talked about. So that was, I was really, really proud to have her there. And can I just quickly make a shout out? In January, we are teaching another of our acclaimed workshops, Hound Vision, the Hound Vision brand workshops that we teach with Nicole Begley. It's you, Sam Haddix, myself, Kaylee Greer, and Nicole Begley. And we've had so many amazing Hound Visions so far. And our next series is coming up in January, and it is on Anna Maria Island in Florida. Oh my gosh, it's like a beachfront mansion. It's going to be so unbelievable. And we have literally one space left in the first week because it was all full. I think it got all full basically right away within the first couple of days of opening, but then I think some, just one person had to pull out the other day because of a scheduling thing or something, and so now there's one space opened in the first week, which is the session one, which I believe is like January 26th,
something like that.
Whatever, look on the website
if you want, if you want to hang out with us on a, in a beachfront mansion with a bunch of dogs. Joshua and Junie should be there, right?
Right? I guess that one we're spoiling. They're going to be there. Just quickly, I think it's Hair of the Dog Academy, which is Nicole's education business. HairOfTheDogAcademy.com/HoundVision, all one word. Just in case you want to check it out. If you want to grab that coveted last space,
slide on in there.
Hell yeah, it'll be so amazing. We're going to have so much fun. We do dinner together and we go so many dog photo shoots, and we have such amazing locations for this one. I'm so excited.
It is going to be really magical. I'm very much looking forward to it, and getting out of New England in January is going to be extra special. Let's talk real quick about Seth Castile. One of the few classes that actually I sat in on his entire class. He talked a lot about the business side of
Things. The cashing in one about like the money.
Show me the kibble.
Show me the kibble. He was so lovely to let me name his class. Show me the kibble.
And I basically had to run that because that third day we had this incredible sound guy, this AV guy, working with us for the first 2 days, and then the third day, it was like his day off, so there was somebody else, and he was terrible.
I didn't even know that happened.
There's no reason for you to have to know Basically, like I did a lot of the sound work like in some of those classes on that third day, and I ran the whole AV booth or whatever during his class, so I watched the whole thing. And what I will say about him is that he was very sharing on both like his massive successes in you know, like publishing deals, but also like his failures. And he was very transparent. He's like, this book sold this many copies, I made this much money from, you know, in advance. And he's like, this other one absolutely tanked. He's like, but I got the advance up front.
And he's like, and they'll never do another book.
And now I'm moving on to a different publisher. And he's like, and this is how it works. Like, and he, the example that he gave, and he's like, it's exactly how it worked out, but it made a lot of sense, is like, you know, he he does these underwater dogs, is really what he's known for. So he did underwater dogs, sold like crazy. Underwater puppies, sold like crazy. And then they wanted him to do underwater babies. And he's like, up like ahead of time, he's like, babies are not gonna sell like dogs. He's like, I'm gonna get the same advance I got for the last book,
so I'll do it.
But
he knew going in that it was probably gonna be a flop. And right, it was,
and it absolutely tanked. And I think that what he said was like, they were talking to him about doing his like his next book, which was like Pounce, I think, is what it's called.
Cat one.
The
yeah.
cat's jumping.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was inking that deal literally like the week before the baby's book came out,
like on purpose, so that he could get the deal before they were like, we can't do another book with
exactly
him.
Yeah. Which is like a super really smart business move. So even I was learning some stuff from that, but it was great that he was so upfront and transparent with not just the successes but the failures as well.
He was a great speaker too, super funny, really dynamic. He had a lot of great, like, in his presentations he had a lot of videos that like threw back to when, you know, he was having this crazy viral success and he had all these interviews going out, all kinds of news stations were reaching out to him, so he had like lots of video clips and he had lots of behind the scenes footage of him like actually, you know, shooting underwater dogs. And he was great. He was really funny. He always had like a Hawaiian shirt on. He was a riot. He was like the life of the party all the time.
I know, definitely a character. Here we get just a couple more speakers to talk about and then some of our fun events and we'll wrap it up.
I mean,
you know?
Geez Louise. Yeah, I'm just looking at the time. I mean, yeah, should we do like a part two?
We get a whole road trip to talk about afterwards.
How about this? So why don't we finish like really recapping the amazing speakers and then next week we'll like talk about the few events and the road trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this will be Shutterhound part one.
Part 1.75 and the next week is part 1.75 to 2. 1.76 and forward.
Shutterhound 1, Shotiti Ruhund. And then next week, Shutterhound 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's fantastic.
I mean, it's already, because we're like at an hour and 20 minutes, and I just don't want to bore people's like ears off their body, especially because this isn't a traditional episode where we're not talking about a photo. So
yeah,
they might
gotcha.
Be like, screw, and they might shut us off.
Yeah, well, guess what? They didn't pay for it.
Oh, Sam, calm down. Be nice. Be
I can
nice.
Talk about whatever I want.
Yeah, I suppose. Like, what would you go for, like, G.I. Joe's or, like, the, remember the Elastic Stretch Man? What was that Elastic Stretch?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure his name was Elastic Stretch Man.
Honest to God, wasn't his name as like, Stretch Man?
Stretch Armstrong? Yes.
Did you have one?
Yeah, and I tore his arms off trying to stretch him too much.
Wait, are you serious? You tore his arms off?
Yeah.
I thought it was like impossible. Wasn't that the gimmick that was impossible to break him?
Listen, he could stretch up to a point.
What'd you do? How'd you do it?
Well, I just stretched him.
Yeah, but how? Did you put him in like a door frame and like open the door? Like tie one arm to one, like a door handle and then the other to another one? Or what'd
that's
you do?
Possible.
You don't remember?
Do you? You can't get me talking about this geeky stuff because I'll go on and
just
talk
quickly,
about the vac man who was like his arch nemesis.
Wait, did you have him?
Yes.
Could you vacuum him up?
It was no. He was made of like these beads, like it was like this weird beady sort of material inside of his like skin, and when you place them into like a vacuum thing, like it would all tighten, and then you could form them, but then you could like undo the vacuum part.
It sounds like Floam. Like he was it was Floam on the inside.
It was kind of like Floam
with like almost like a balloon outside, so you could like stretch it and put
go
it back.
To a party.
Okay,
all right,
okay.
Yes, we have three more amazing speakers to talk about, and then yes, we'll let all you people go until next time. Let's do Alex second because she ended the conference.
Yeah,
but
she
let's
did.
Talk about so Miss Sophie Gamond.
Oh God, I can't even begin. I can't even begin. Sophie, just like I expected a lot because I know she's like probably my favorite photographer / artist like of all time, and I like, and her rescue work is so ridiculously beyond what I've ever seen anybody else on earth even try to attempt, that I expected a lot. And I know her personally, and she's like so ridiculously well spoken, and she's like incredibly intelligent, and the things that she like thinks about and muses on are very important topics that a lot of other people try to avoid because they can be heavy and just like not easy to access, I guess, for your average person. And she brought all of that and like so much heart and so much more to the table with her talks, to the point where we decided to put her in like the feature spot, which was, aside from William Wegman, there was only one other spot in the entire schedule that was going to be able to run unopposed. So it was going to be able to be like, everyone's going here. Like, you have no choice. We're making you watch this person.
Yeah. It's just how the math kind of worked out with the schedule. It was like, okay, we have the ability to choose one class and one person to put on in a featured spot.
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, it's got to be Sophie.
Yeah, because Sophie is like, the heart of what she does is rescue work. Sophie doesn't really do like private sessions for clients. She's not really a boutique dog photographer in that way, or like even really a commercial. Although she has done some commercial work, she is an artist through and through. And not only is she a photographer, but she does like needlepoint work. She's like, she does like painting. She does mixed media canvases. Like, she's ridiculously talented. And her photography, which is so unreal. Her image, like, full transparency, was my like favorite image of all the images to work with for the Shutterhound branding, because when the speakers sign the contract, they give, you know, the limited right for us to use their images like in conjunction with Shutterhound and on the website. And she has this one image of a pit bull that has like mange, and he's like a black, or maybe it's a female pit bull, anyway, it doesn't matter, he's wearing like a crown that is like reminiscent of like what a like religious icon would be wearing.
Yeah,
what would you call that type of crown?
It's got religious like iconography all over it, because the crown is kind of like it's not the crown of thorns, but it's like looks like rays of sunlight coming out of it. Yeah. Like you'll see
holy and like spiritually,
and that with driven. The shroud that he's wearing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's such an unbelievable piece of art. It's so striking using that, and the colors in it, or like these like shiny glittery pinks and blues, which is like ridiculously perfect for the Shutterhound branding. So her images were always like my go-to, like, okay, I can like easily use these to, you know, for this layout or that layout or whatever. So shout out to Sophie for that amazing access to limited access to her work. But anyway, yeah, so we put her in that unopposed spot, and she talked about what was the title of that class? Do you recall? I'm just like losing my
My brain's been soup for many months, but this was the class about
it's the shelter class. It was like your voice, your vision, like get second chances through the power of photography, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was so beyond, I mean, I know I'm saying that about everybody, but truly there was not a single speaker, and I'm not just saying that because this is public and oh my god, they're gonna hear it if I don't say a nice thing. Like, that's what I said to Sam, my biggest takeaway after Shutterhound. I was in tears. We said our goodbye on stage, we walked out of that room, couldn't believe we finished it, and I was in tears, and I said to Sam, the speakers, I can't stop thinking about how ridiculous every single speaker gave their whole heart. Like, there wasn't one single dud in the bunch, you know what I mean? There wasn't anybody who I felt like phoned it in or like didn't care as much as we cared. It just blew me away. And Sophie was another one that just totally blew me away. I was sitting next to my dad during her shelter, you know, photography class, and I was like, and my dad's not really immersed in like the dog photography world, you know. And I remember thinking, like, how proud I was to, like, show her to him. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, there's no one on earth that it's more important to me to, like, impress than my dad and, like, my parents, right? And my family. And, like, having her up there, I was, like, ridiculously proud that I could even take, like, the tiniest ounce of responsibility for her being there.
Yeah, exactly. And she was so funny because, like, for the months leading up to it, she kept emailing me being like, I'm worried about my keynote. Like, I'm not very good at keynote. Like, you know what I mean? And then, of course, her class is like an 11 out of 10, just incredible.
Everybody was in tears.
Everyone's, just like, it's so emotional. It's so powerful. It's so, you know, inspiring.
Yeah.
So, like, she had just nothing to worry about. And the really nice thing is that, like, you know, she designed that talk for Shutterhound,
right?
And then she messaged me afterwards, and she's just like, I was so inspired giving that talk, I want to see if I can try to like work on that talk some more, and then like take it out like on the road or something like that, to to give this talk more. And I was like, absolutely, please let me know how I can help you, if I can help you in any way, because that talk was so,
it was
such a highlight.
It was, yes, it was so, so special. I was just like sobbing, and also was snotting everywhere.
Yeah.
As was everybody else, because her shelter work is really, really impactful. And she's been to Korea to the dog meet, you know, trade farms, and she's done like her pit bull flower power, which is incredibly recognizable, and then her like iconography series or whatever with the pit bulls and like religious garb, and she's done a lot of like really meaningful work that's like affected the like general zeitgeist of pop culture, which is incredibly hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you've seen a dog in a flower crown, you can trace it back to Sophie Gaumont.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. We ended the conference on a high, and it was what was great is that I saw, I think the most people, at least in my personal peripheral, I have seen the most people take action from this particular class.
Yes, me
and
too. That's
Alex Kearns, yes. her class, and ended the entire conference on again such a high.
It did. And, you know, and it's funny too, because we didn't even know that really when we designed the schedule. Like it wasn't necessarily like deliberate to put her like last. It just kind of like the way it all worked out was like, oh, okay. And then we have this last space. Okay, the last class we don't have in the space is this media magnetism class with mm-hmm. Alex. And Alex, I mean, she is such a friggin' dynamic powerhouse of a businesswoman. Like, the second we thought about Shutterhound, I was like, Alex Kearns has to be there. She is so unapologetically badass. She is so successful, but not badass and, like, cocky and, like, a douchebag, but, like, ridiculously nice, down-to-earth, kind, but confident. And that is something that is, I think, especially in a female-dominated, like, industry, or like a female, like it's much heavier on the like percentage of females, right? Like I think that we do tend to struggle a little bit more with like being super exceptionally confident in the world as much. It's, listen, I don't want to turn this into like a whole thing like battle of the sexes. Everybody, especially artists, I think feel like vulnerable and they feel imposter syndrome. But I think especially, I mean, the data suggests that especially women feel that way in business. And I just think she is such a ridiculously powerful role model for people. She owns Houndstooth Studio in Australia.
Perth, right?
In Perth. Yep. And she has been in business a long, long time too. At least as long as me, I think longer. And she, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was around a couple of years anyway before Dog Breath was even. And she is so good at business. I can't begin to describe it. She creates opportunities for herself left and right without like a second thought. I feel like I like wallow all the time in like self-doubt and wallow in like, okay, I've got to take this next step, but I think of about a million things that can go wrong and I have to think about it for like a week before I get confident enough to like maybe try it. And then what if someone says no? And oh my gosh, I'm so scared and I don't want to fail. She just doesn't have those feelings, I don't think. Like, she's just so badass. And is like a personal mentor to me and was somebody that like absolutely I wanted to make sure to, well, people already, I mean, everybody in this industry already knew who she was, but like absolutely to expose to like our people or whatever as well. And boy, did that not disappoint. Like, Alex has had far and above the biggest like lasting reaction, I think, because she had so many tips for actionable advice for you to do like as soon as you got home that you're right. I've never seen so many people take action on their dreams as I have after that last class that she gave, Media Magnetism.
Yep. So lots of series that that people are now sharing in a more public sort of way. And it was a perfect way to end things, because it's like, okay, this is exactly the thing I'm going to do right when I leave here, right when I get home, I'm going to do this thing right away. And a lot of people did it. It was very cool.
Yeah, really cool. And like, people not only got like, you know, articles for themselves and editorials like written about them, but also people, there was a few people who appeared on TV, like on their local news channels, talking about their work, their projects. She gave a lot of people the permission and the confidence to go out and tell their stories like publicly, which is huge, right? Because then people get all this attention from, you know, the local media, and then from like potential clients or people that like see their work, and it builds up their brand. And it's a real, it's like really can make a huge, meaningful impact in your business and your journey and your, like I said, your confidence level and everything. So yeah, I knew her classes would be popular. It just really caught me off guard, like how like insanely well received that one was. I mean, not, I shouldn't say off guard, like I expected it, but it was just, what a beautiful like blessing to have that one just happen to be like one of the closing talks that really impacted people. Mm. The other closing talk, which it was incredible, was Elka Vogelsang's Saved by Dogs talk, which was so so beautiful. I kind of caught both of them. I caught the first half of Alex's and the second half of Elka's. And it what an amazing way to end the show for me in tears. It was just so beautiful. I mean, she's just a force. Everybody was a force. And of course, we haven't even talked about William Wegman, but we will next time.
Next time, we've got William Wegman. We've got Junie's No Swimming VIP Pool Party, the International Pet Photographer of the Year Awards. We have lots of dancing dogs, acrobatics, and a cross-country road trip. Yep. We got a lot more to talk about.
So we're going to talk about a photo next week too, though, right? Like, I know it seems like hard to do, but we did a really cool shoot on our road trip with our dogs that I wanted to talk about next week as like the photo. So next week we should get back into more of like a normal format. Although I will say we have a little bit left to cover about Shutterhound, so it might be a little bit lengthy. I hope not too lengthy.
Yeah. Well, guess
what?
Just see. Guess what? We can do as many episodes as we want.
There you go.
Boom. Yep. And you know what people have been waiting for the last 3 months?
Skibbity 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 bop, skibbity boo, skibbity dibble. You know, I had 3 months to prepare, and I don't.
And that's what you came up with.
I don't have anything.
A quick scat.
I say dogs, 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 dogs. I say dogs and dogs and dogs on logs, and I say that sometimes logs are covered in dogs. See ya.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.